Okay. Are we ready? Thank you, sir. Testicle, 1, 2. All right, we are beginning. Good evening. This is Reverend Bookburn. The show is called The Reverend Is In. Tonight is the anticipated night we've been waiting for since the anniversary show. First and foremost, we have Jana Perry live, and we're going to hear acoustic versions of their songs, and we're also celebrating the birthday of Pastor Rex Cat, which I am thrilled about, and of course, it's February 14th, so it's our sacred annual tradition to do a sub-theme called Love Night. So what we're going to do is we're only going to play one set tonight instead of three, and it's going to be shorter than usual, and then we're going to get right into it. So we're going to play the Banana Splits at the request of Pastor Rex Cat, but first, when I saw Jana Perry's site with all the quotes and reviews, they were always saying she's like early Chrissy Hynde, or she's like the Donnas, and they just rolled off all these comparisons, and I thought they're kind of okay, but then I was thinking of the woman, and I forgot her name, who was in the early English punk band called the Adverts, and I think this is a more suitable comparison. This is from the best of the Adverts, and it's entitled Television's Over.
We'll be right back. Take the fun right out of your undies. Here's our miracle breakthrough scene. secret. Our righteous undies for fundies are laced with a newly patented and high-power-packed Southern Baptist-style erection slayer called St. Saltpeter. That's right. Fruit of the tomb fundie undies for young pious men will give your Pentecostal penis a revelation like it's never had. Horny? Frustrated? Caught up in a life of shameful masturbation? St. Saltpeter to the rescue. Here it comes. Fruit of the tomb fundie undies for young pious men will allow you to finally live that life that everyone at church doubts you're living anyway. It's not easy being young, Pentecostal and randy, constantly dealing with evil urges to fornicate, masturbate, and sexually recreate. Let St. Saltpeter bless you today. You'll never have an erection again. Fruit of the tomb fundie undies for young, pious men.
Hey, this is Jana Perry, and you're listening to The Reverend Is In with Reverend Bookburn at VoltaRadio.com.
1, 2, 3, 4!
One of our guests, tonight, but we'll get to that later. You heard the Dictators doing the Savage Beat. Before that, Reverend Bookburn's animation theme. Before that, Sister Bertha Bangers doing Fundy Undies. Peaches did Fuck or Kill. Afro Man did Because I Got High. And we meant to play the uncensored version. Apologies for that. I hate fucking censorship, censored versions. From the Banana Splits cartoon and children's TV show of long ago, you heard I'm Gonna Find a Cave. That goes to Birthday Boy Pastor Rex Cat, and started off with the adverts doing Television's Over. This is Reverend Bookburn. The show is called The Reverend Is In. Tonight is, in addition to Pastor Rex Cat's birthday and love night, Jana Perry Live. And we're going to hear a lot of live songs starting in 1 minute. We also have a letter from James Dobson of Focus on the Family. And we'll do Asshole of the Week later. But first, let's just say happy birthdays. And no deaths. And I checked. We already talked about the late Howard Zinn. So birthdays from the last show until this one. In addition to Pastor Rex Cat was Angel Vane's birthday, who is our guest next Sunday night. Dan Nisi and Barbara McSpadden from Mr. Zvi's family. Mr. Zvi is still incarcerated on weed charges, although it looks like we're going to get him out this year. Tonight, without further ado, we have Jana Perry Live. It's not just the name of the guitarist and one of the vocalists. It's also the name of the band. So band is not in the name. So tonight we have the individual and the band, or two-thirds of the band. Of it should be. Let's see.
Oh, here
we go. There we go.
How about that?
Much better. Thank you.
All right. This tech tard gets it right eventually.
How about this one?
It should be
okay,
all
that
of them.
One's on.
Yeah.
All
right. The Weapon of Ass Destruction is working. And this phallic one is working. How about yours, Jacob?
Yeah, good.
All right. So the drummer is not here.
He's skiing today.
He's skiing. And you're hearing an acoustic guitar and an acoustic bass. And thanks to DJ Jeff, this is set up. They're going to play live as an electric band next Saturday, February 20th, in New York City. This will be 9 o'clock p.m. at The Local 269. Which is at 269 East Houston.
We say Houston in New York.
Oh.
Houston's in Texas. Yes, in New York, it's Houston.
My Reagan brain. 269 East Houston Street at Suffolk Street in New York City. And, of course, go to janaperry.com. J-A-N-A-P-E-R-I. JanaPerry.com for details and, of course, their recordings. And if you guys are ready.
Yeah.
All right. We're going to hear set number one. What's the first song?
We're going to play City Beat.
All right.
It's the lead track off Catching Flies with Vinegar.
Great. And these CDs are definitely worth it.
Ready? One, two, three, four. City beat, the beat. walk on the streets, it's a gritty. Feel the heat from the pavement, shooting a dub to the sky. Scrapers and when I feel that city heat, I know I've got to move my feet to the city beat. Should we do another one? Yes, we will. Okay. This is Dating Sucks. One, two, three, four. He rode a bike, he played guitar, he killed my plans, crashed my car, he walked off with my VCR. Why? Another vowed to cherish me and give me love unselfishly. If I just get plastic surgery, why? I only try to love. Dating sucks. Joe seemed nice, a bit bizarre. He cleaned my house, raked my yard, then maxed out all my credit cards. Oh, why? I confronted him, I asked what's up. He said my service charges were cleaning up. I got the bill when we broke up. Oh, why? I only tried to love him. Is any girl. Dating sucks. I'd rather be alone if it means I lose my house and home. The worst guy of all. He ate my food, drank my wine. The stains on his sheets weren't mine. Oh, why? I should have known he was a sleaze. Should never have given him my keys. Now I'm stuck with this disease. Oh, why? I only tried to love him as any girl would do. But at some point, I begin to hate them through and through. Oh, yeah. For Valentine's Day.
Dating sucks.
That's right, taking a swig of water here. We're going to do another one for you. And this is something a lot of people say to their significant other. It's all your fault. My stomach's in knots and my head is reeling. Thought it was something that I drank, but it's lasted a week and I've you to thank. It's all your fault, it's all your fault. I take no responsibility. It's all your fault, it's all your fault. Cause I haven't let myself feel anything in so long. Or are you just an indiscriminate lover? My true identity was well concealed, but you pushed a button and blew my cover. It's all your fault, it's all your fault. Your candor is confusing me. It's all your fault, it's all your fault. Cause I haven't let myself feel anything in so long. To stand in line for this. It's all your fault. It's all your fault. The questions are consuming me. It's all your fault. It's all your fault. Cause I haven't let myself feel anything. It's all your fault. It's all your fault. Certainty is what I need. It's all your fault. It's all your fault. Cause I haven't felt anything in so long.
This next song we're going to play, the truth is this was actually inspired by, I imagined, what if Valentine's Day went horribly wrong? And of course, then it has to be a country song. This is called I'll Be Gone. And a one, and a two, and a three. Phones, they flew off my head. They flew off. Put them back on.
Jana Perry live, consisting of Jana Perry on guitar and vocals, and Jacob Callis on bass and vocals.
And tambourine.
And tambourine. I'm not shitting you. There is a tambourine on his leg.
And cymbals on my knees.
And he's playing a tambourine with his foot. All right, thank
you. People who play solo frequently become very resourceful because we have to.
You might as well use all your limbs.
All your limbs must
be
used.
Why let them go to waste? Okay. Let's see, we heard I'll Be Gone, All Your Fault, Dating Sucks. After all, this is Love Night.
That's right.
And started off with City Beat. Okay. Are we going to do a birthday or?
Sure.
Should that wait for later? Okay.
If you want.
All right. The Great. Pastor Rex Cat, co-producer of the show, archivist, who uploads these shows, including this one, at Radio 4 All, Radio Numeral 4 All.net. Is having a birthday today, and we're celebrating, and now we're all going to celebrate together when you're ready.
Oh, yeah, we have a little birthday greeting for Pastor Rex. I hope you're listening in. This is for you. 1, 2, 3, 4. You say it's your birthday. It's my birthday too, yeah.
Thank you. All right.
What's that matter? What did we
birthday. Break? Call you when it's over.
I thought something was technically okay. Wrong. I'm glad to see.
No. All right. Pastor Whoremaster is still conscious. And John Necraptus, we're not sure about. And DJ Jeff is probably drinking. So, let's see. Let's get on with more music. Oh, are you doing the Marilyn Monroe thing?
If you'd like me to. I don't know how well I could do it. I haven't brushed up on this.
I have supreme confidence.
I think I'd actually rather do the Bill Murray version.
Oh, okay. All right. Pastor Rex is not getting the Marilyn Monroe.
No. I'll do the Marilyn Monroe, but it might have a little Bill Murray in it. How's a combination?
A synthesis so of I the think two is a great idea.
Yeah, so I think it's going to be a combination.
Okay. This is a first here on The Reverend Is In.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, Pastor Rex the Cat. Happy birthday to you. How was that?
Bill Murray is weeping. He wishes he could do that. All right. Thank you, Muchly. Okay. Do you want to play more or talk?
Sure. Whatever you like. You want us to play? You want us to talk?
Okay.
We can do both. We're very multi-talented.
At the same time.
Yeah. Can you play and talk? You know we go for groundbreaking originality on The Reverend Is In.
As long as you don't talk while we That's
okay.
All really
during this next song, we'll have sports scores, the weather, current events.
Yeah, make sure you turn on the television, too.
Yeah. Yeah. And we'll talk about that dead fishing guy. And, actually, that is something that really happened. There's a rumor, we can't confirm it, but that some book burners are digging up that guy's body. He's from cable television. I never heard of him. But he's a famous fishing guy, Phil Harris. And I thought, it makes perfect sense to feed him to the fish. And it's only fair.
I hear this story.
He's dead. He had a stroke. But he has like some famous fishing show on cable television.
Right.
And so, you know, people who are into like killing and stuff like that like to watch it. And so I thought, well, since he's dead, what are you going to do with him anyway? So we said, well, why not feed him to the fish, which is only fair, and considering his actions. And so there's a rumor that book burners are looking for the body to do just that, but we can't confirm or deny that at this time. But we will inform you either on next week's show or a future show if we throw that guy to the fish. Okay. Was his name Phil Harris? Are we going to hear L.A. Girl?
I think so. I know you've been playing this song on your show, right?
Yeah. This is the most played song and my biased taste, a favorite.
So we had to do it. let's take it away. One, two, three. With a three-shell hair and that affected sway, you could see her coming from a mile away. She's an L.A. girl, the world's a pearl. She'll be the star of the show if she makes it so. L.A. girl, take her for a whirl. You could have her alone if you're in Rolling Stone. With an elaborate plan and an expensive tan, or shorts cut to match her attention span, she goes cruising in a minivan. She makes it so. L.A. girl, take her for a whirl. She'll buy you a beer if you're in premiere. She was born to schmooze. All she needs is someone to use. She's more than a Malibu party guest. She's Jacques Cousteau on a deep sea quest. A parasite with a pair of breasts. In time, she'll blow your. She was born to schmooze. All she needs is someone to use. You're in Billboard. She was born to schmooze. All she needs is someone to use. And what she lacks in depth, she makes up for in breath. And what she lacks in depth, she makes up for in breath. She's got the world on a string, Makita, yeah.
A love song for you, and it's true, this really is a love song, but it, my kind of love song. It's called Damn You, Damn Me. This song was originally written, I wrote this on piano, so it's off my EP, and it's the piano version on there, but I'm going to play it on guitar today, and we haven't played this song in a while, and hopefully I will remember how it goes.
It's in the key of D, if that helps.
Not much I remember. Some of the chords I might forget.
Well,
I
didn't know it was the key.
Okay. And tune. All right, this is the title track off Catching Flies with Vinegar called Catching Flies with Vinegar. The dead air. One does have to breathe in between songs.
That is permitted.
We're going to do something new for you. This song hasn't been recorded yet, but we want to do like a big whopping disco version of this song. So this is the acoustic disco version, Sans Drummer. And this is a song about gallery hopping for fun and profit. It's called Gallery Whore. Take it away, Jacob. In my Versace dress, don't wanna seem too eager. Events from 6 to 8, I wait until 6:30 because I'm fashionably late. Arriving at the soiree and passing by the art, pushing through the crowd, I make a beeline for the bar. Red, white, or Perrier Miss, I'll have white wine, of course. I like a drink or two, too, is my social intercourse. I'm looking for a party, I glide across the floor. I like to think I'm arty, but I'm just a gallery whore. My friend is waiting for me, she's already there. In her purse, she's got toothpaste and extra underwear. By day, a caterer actress. At night, she's something more. With any luck, she'll meet someone to boost her credit score. We do a lap around and we assess the scene. Then zero in on someone who we think looks interesting. What do you think of this show? I'll take your con, here's mine. Sometimes you meet the coolest people in the bathroom line. I'm looking for a party. I've got to work the floor. I like to think I'm arty, but I'm just some hors d'oeuvres and we get drunk tonight. I think we've hit the jackpot. There's an open bar. Hot waiters passing sushi. Rooftop view of the stars. Hey, do you know the photog? I didn't catch his name. I like his work, but I came for the free drinks just the same. Uh-oh, the party's over, but I don't wanna leave. We should consult the voice and do it again next week. I'm looking for a party. I go from door to door. But I'm just a gallery whore. I'm looking for a party. I go from door to door. I like to think I'm arty, but I'm just a gallery whore.
Thank you. We're going to be playing that one next weekend with drums, and it sounds really different. Our drummer actually came up with this incredible jungle beat that takes the song to a whole other a whole other place.
This is at the Houston Street show.
Yeah, this is at the local 269 in New York City. It's on in 269 East Houston Street at Suffolk Street. It's where Meow Mix used to be, the old lesbian bar. That I guess something happened, it got flooded or whatever, and then it was another bar, and now it's Local 269. It's actually an Irish bar, but they have live music.
Cool. Let's go back to the earliest days.
The earliest days?
Yeah. Tell us about musical origins.
Okay. What do you want to know?
Let's
like
see.
What my influences?
Sure. Let's start with the influences.
Well, you heard one of the biggest ones tonight. We were playing a little Beatles for you. I'm sure you could hear that in the music. That's huge, huge, huge influence. So definitely listened to a lot of Beatles growing up and still listen to that. So a lot of British Invasion stuff, The Who, Rolling Stones, of course. But also, you know, on the New York punk side, Ramones, Blondie. What else? British punk stuff, Sex Pistols, what? You know, a lot of different stuff. I would say Cher was a big influence, maybe more for her wardrobe than her music.
No, I think her singing.
Not her singing style, really, not at all. But I wanted to have my own variety show. I was determined I was going to be Cher, but I guess that hasn't worked out yet.
And you'll need more hair.
I'll need more hair. It's not like I'm bald. I can grow it longer.
Okay. So, well, how long has the band been a band?
Let's see. Well, I've been playing by myself for quite a long time. This band in sort of one incarnation or another has been together since, I guess, 99. Jacob's been playing bass with me since 2005. Mm-hmm. We met online, which was very fortunate because I was getting ready to go on a UK tour and needed a bass player and a drummer, as it turned out. So, and he came in on bass, and I got the guy who had played drums on my EP, who I'd never played in a band with, John Seuss, and it was great. And I'm actually headed back to the UK in a few weeks. I'm just going to go solo acoustic this time.
Okay.
It's, you know, it was just too much to arrange for the band and everything, but I've got some really good gigs lined up, starting March 7th in London and then going up to Glasgow and Manchester and then Liverpool.
Great.
And also playing a private party in Liverpool.
And you played the Cavern.
I
have played the Cavern before. That was solo, but and then we went back to Liverpool and we played at a place called Zanzibar Club, and that's where I'm going to be playing in March as well. But yeah, the Cavern Club, if for anyone who doesn't know, is the famous club where the Beatles pretty much were discovered by Brian Epstein in Liverpool, although it's not the original Cavern. It's actually a few doors down the street. The original cavern is no more. It was destroyed, and they rebuilt this. But there are things around there that were definitely there at the time, like the Beatles. So, like, you know, I want authenticity. I go across the street and hang out at the Grapes, which is the pub where the Beatles used to hang out. You know, or go to the other side of town and go to Ye Crack. I mean, like, you know, so that sounds bad. I can, like, snicker out of you. She said crack.
Yeah. What is that? Beavis and Butthead.
Yeah, I know. It's the Beavis and Butthead version.
So. What is Ye Crack?
Ye Crack? We didn't go there when you were with
me.
What
is it?
It's a bar where John Lennon used to hang out. I guess probably a lot of the art students used to hang there, and now there's old men playing quiz games and stuff. There's a lot of that going on. In fact, I'm going to be playing at a private party with the Quarrymen, who is John Lennon's original band, and I first met them in Liverpool in 2001. Mm-hmm. They were playing at this place called Clubmore Hall, and I walk in, and there was a bingo game going on. Like, bingo followed by the Quarrymen. So they're very down to earth in Liverpool.
So they were like skiffle.
Yeah, they're still skiffle.
And they're still,
they're still around, yeah.
Let's see. Well, Lennon would turn 70 this year, had he lived. And Ringo will turn 70 this year.
Yeah, so those guys are all around that age, and they're still kicking.
Bill Wyman's like 72.
Yeah. But he's not in the Stones anymore, is he? But he's doing he's doing more of a jazz thing, right?
He's retired, or just doing solo stuff.
Because actually, that would be so great if I went over there, but I think Bill Wyman is one of those people who'll play in clubs in London a lot. Mm-hmm. Like, just, like, little clubs, and that doesn't happen here. I don't know of him ever playing in New York. Like Bill Wyman and Charlie Watts do a lot of solo stuff.
Right.
In London. So, I don't know, but I'm only going to be there for 3 days, so I'll probably not see anything that exciting. One of those nights will be me playing, so that's the priority.
Cool. And let's see, and you know Dick.
Hey, you don't know Dick.
You do know Dick.
I actually don't even know anyone who calls him Dick. He calls himself Richard Manitoba, the owner of Manitoba's Bar. Yes, I do know him. He's not like a really, really close friend, but he is a sweetheart. I like him very, very much. Mm-hmm. And we used to play at his bar. We played there a bunch of times, and then they stopped having live music because there were some issues with the neighbors, but they're working on getting that back up again. But we still like to drink there, although we haven't been there in about... Wow. We had I Wanna Rock, which I think have you been playing that on your show, or you have the video?
Yeah.
Well, we're gonna play that for you tonight.
We linked the videos, and it's been on the show several times.
We had our release party for the video in June at Manitoba's. For fun. And actually, Richard wasn't even there that night, but he emailed me afterwards to ask how it went and everything. He's really a doll. He's so funny.
Does he play music now?
Not too often. Every once in a while. I don't know. I mean, you'd have to ask him what he's up to. I'm not aware. They do reunion shows, and they're always like, you know, all these New York all-star kind of shows, like people from different bands. Like, he'll show up at the Joey Ramone shows every year, like the birthday bash shows. They've continued that. I was at the first one. I was actually working at the first one because I was a publicist at the time. So I was the person in the back freaking out directing cool. media people like, you go over here and you go over there.
Very cool. Let's see. Oh, and you know Randy.
Yes, I know Randy. And actually, it's so funny because we've been on his show a bunch of times, and every time we always end up talking about Manitoba's. He's always asking about that all. Hi, Randy. Randy said he might be listening tonight, so I hope he is. Randy Now.
Hello, Randy Now. He has done shows in Trenton at City Gardens for a year, since the earliest days of punk, as well as radio, as well as... I believe he's affiliated with the record store.
Yeah, the
record collector. Yes.
Yeah.
And he's a cool guy, and put his life into this.
Yeah, City Gardens, I mean, I was never there, and that was before my time, but City Gardens is no more. Uh-huh. For a while, he was doing shows at a place called the 449 Room in Trenton, and we played there one night, and now I think it's some kind of, like, horrible dance club or something, if it's even still around. Okay. But now they're doing, we were actually the first people booked to play at the Record Collector in Bordentown, New Jersey, and that's become, like, our home away from home. We love Bordentown. So, like, plug for the Record Collector. Hi to John and Sue and everybody from the Record Collector. So we've played there a bunch of times in the store. We also played, they had every year, they have the Cranberry Festival in October. It's the Bordentown is the home of Ocean Spray cranberries. So every year they have this big cranberry festival, and it's like, you know, arts and food and everything. And we played out in the street, and it was pretty funny. There's like little kids running around. And
cool. So if you have a bladder infection, go to Bordentown, New Jersey. And yeah, be sure.
There you go.
To check out the
ringing endorsement.
The cranberry festival in Bordentown. All right. Let's see. How about if in 1 minute, we get to set three.
Okay.
Does that sound good? Let's see. Oh, you did hear already. Gallery Whore, Catching Flies with Vinegar, Damn You, Damn Me, and L.A. Girl. And I want to name this the releases.
I'm sorry, what?
Your release, your CDs.
Tell me what they are.
Yes.
Okay, yeah, we've been playing songs tonight from two recorded releases, which are the EP self-titled Jana Perry, which that came out in that's the red one, the other one that came out in 1999 actually, and then Catching Flies with Vinegar, which is more recent, that came out in 2005. We've been writing some new stuff occasionally. So we have some new things that haven't been recorded yet, and we're playing some of that for you tonight. And
like Gallery Whore.
But the most recent thing, which you played on your show as well, which we just released, a holiday song called I Hate the Holidays, But I Love Spending Them With You. That was brand new. We just recorded that in October and put it out in November. It was a very, very quick turnaround, and it turned up on, you know, iTunes and CD Baby in time for January. Which is always nice. It's like, oh, thank you.
Yeah, we play that multiple times.
So that's available. Right. That was the other two albums are out on CD, and they could also be downloaded from the internet. They're on iTunes, CD Baby, all those sites. Okay. You can find it at janaperry.com. That's JANAPERI.com. And the single is only available as a digital download. It's called I Hate the Holidays, But I Love Spending Them With You. Digital only release. We haven't released that on a disc, and I don't know if we will, but there is fantastic artwork to go with it by the wonderful Cliff Mott, which you can see online.
And they can hear your music at MySpace, right?
That's right. You can stream music at MySpace.
MySpace.com/
Jana Perry. Right.
Gotcha. Okay. Let's see. A quick public service announcement, and then we're going to hear more tunes from Jana Perry. This is from Hannah Giles, who was part of that Retardo Acorn Sting with a dorky amateur wiretapper and fake pimp James O'Keefe. Hannah Giles, now kind of abandoning her former partner in crime, is leading fundraisers and saying some pretty crazy shit to raise money and citing persecution. And now we have a request from her to read this public service announcement. Please help Hannah Giles become the sex worker that she once role-played and now seeks to truly be, and that she has long yearned to be. While her Dorcas accomplice prepares for trial, a poor and lonely Hannah desperately seeks fundraising through the role play that she fell in love with. Please make her fantasies come true. Please pay Hannah Giles for loads of wild sex. Special Valentine's rates for the first 10 people who come to her. This has been a public service announcement from Volta Radio and Reverend Bookburn. All right. You guys ready?
Yeah, we're just sitting here doing sign language at each other.
I know. I was trying to figure out. All right. right, what are we going to hear?
Yeah, we're ready. I should have tuned my guitar. Hopefully it's still in tune. Okay, speaking of England, where I'm going to be going very soon, this is the lead song off the Jana Perry EP. This is called The Lala Song. Watching him? Yeah. Is he on Skype?
We're keeping an eye on him. That was the La La song?
Yeah.
Alright, what's next?
Alright. We're going to do another track off Catching Flies with Vinegar. This is a song about a dream that I had. I woke up July 4th one year, and this was what I was dreamt about. Excuse me, this is called Cab Driver.
Ride.
said, you're going out of the way. Turn around or I won't play. The driver kept yelling at me. He said, Lee, don't know where you're going, and this ride won't be free.
To the people of Philadelphia, and maybe even more so to the people of Washington, D.C. Although we got some of it up north in New York and New Jersey. Jacob lives on the Jersey Shore, so you get pretty slammed with this song's called Blizzard. That's what I'm talking about, so you know. But yeah, in New York, we got like nothing. We got an inch, or not even. We had a dusting. It disappeared. And they got slammed, but then we got snow again the other day. And now it's supposed to snow tomorrow night, so I'm getting the hell out of here before before I get caught in it.
This place is a shithole.
But this song, Blizzard, is like, well, here we are, the love night, the love theme, and you can see a lot of my songs are more about love, troubled love. Let's put it that way.
That's a part of love.
So this is that. This is one of those songs.
Okay.
Knocking all the phlegm loose tonight. All right. This is Blizzard.
Been snow.
that's off the Jana Perry EP. That's an old one. That's when I was, I think I was listening to a lot of Tori Amos. It's Tori Amos meets The Who. It's
good. Yes. Tori and Roger and Peter at the Super Bowl.
There you go.
Oh, boy.
So you guys are a couple.
Yeah.
In our spare time.
A couple of what? That is the question. Yeah.
In our spare time.
Cool. How does that work out with overlapping in the band?
Well, I play the bass parts, the guitar parts, and we leave.
Yeah, the problem was when you have two people trying to play the same thing. No, okay. it works out really well. Jacob's a singer-songwriter in his own right as well, and he also plays bass with some other people. So cool, he keeps really busy. I see less of him these days. Okay. I'm like, oh no, another one.
It's like, like side projects.
Yeah, so then you get jealous, and it's from a musical standpoint. It's like, do you have any energy left from my band?
You have been seeing another band.
You've been seeing another band. We were actually just talking about that earlier, how we were with a drummer that we had had before, how we were kind of feeling that way. So like, you go on Facebook, like, who else is he playing with? I know he's playing with somebody else. You feel like you're being cheated. Yeah. So like right now we're back playing with our old drummer, Rob, who I played with for years. He played on Catching Flies with Vinegar. He didn't play on the EP, but we played together for a long time. And that's Rob Holm. He's great. He's so great. Really, yeah, great drummer, great singer, great idea man. Mm-hmm. He's just, you know, he can play stuff that he's I don't think he's like our other drummer Ned was like really, he's actually classically trained and he would do this really unusual. He's the one who Ned Stroh, amazing drummer, played on the Holiday single. I Hate the Holidays, but Love Spending Them with You.
Oh, okay.
But he's really, really different kind of drummer. Even though like he supposedly grew up listening to a lot of hardcore, I don't hear that in his in his drumming.
It's
he plays these like amazing nuanced things that other people can't even figure out what he played. But Rob is a different kind of drummer. He's more of a street drummer. He's really more of like, you know, I think growing up on like punk and Kiss and stuff like that. You know, hence the end of I Wanna Rock, which is from Love Guns.
Okay.
Yeah,
so you're spending Love Night with us. This is truly an honor.
Happy Valentine's Day,
right.
Philadelphia.
As long as we don't get snowed in, we're very happy.
Yes. Let's see. Let's do something for Valentine's Day. This is... there's two quotes. This is from the very beginning. It's even before the introduction. It's like pages of credits and other books by Paul Krasner. And this is from the reissue of Paul Krasner's Tales of Tung Fu. Tung Fu has a 15-inch tongue, and he's like the guy from Kung Fu. Like, he's walking around, and he talks to some, like, guru type, and... It's a crazy fictional book.
Oh, okay. But, so this is fictional.
In the reissue of Tales of Tung Fu, we have these quotes. And this is because it's Love Night. And because we have a couple here. When you are joyous, look deep into your heart. And you shall find it is only that which has given you sorrow that is giving you joy. When you are sorrowful, look again in your heart. And you shall see that in truth you are weeping for that which has been your delight. Khalil Gibran, the author of The Prophet. Second quote. People use the prophet to get laid. Lenny Bruce. Happy Love Night.
That says it all, doesn't it?
Yeah, quite a contrast there.
Call and response, an old blues trick.
So what's the future hold for...
What's the future
what
hold?
What doesn't the future hold?
That's right, it's all an open book.
It's only February.
That's right, it's only February.
We've got two blizzards.
Yeah.
Anything is possible this year.
Right, yeah, I have no idea what's going on after March. It's on to me later. So, like, all I can think about right now is this tour. We have the gig tonight... gig next week in New York, Local 269. And then for anybody who's listening, I will be playing March 7th in London in Islington at the Hope and Anchor, or the Hopeless Wanker, as some people call it. It's a famous club. There used to be a lot of punk rock in there, too, but it's a pub in Islington.
Tell the Hopeless Wankers that we celebrate Palm and Stroke Sunday here,
okay,
as well as on National Masturbation Month in the month of May.
And so, oh yeah, we'll have to come back for that.
We'll do a shout out for that.
So sorry we weren't here for that night.
Okay, so let's see. We heard Blizzard and Baby Won't Fix.
Actually, yeah. We didn't do that one yet.
Did you skip that?
Oh, we skipped it.
I think it's a conspiracy against the bass player.
Oh, I'm so sorry. This is Jacob's favorite song. Oh, we're gonna have to do that. We'll kick off the last set with that.
Okay.
Unless you want to play some recorded stuff too, if you want to.
So we'll play Blizzard. We heard Blizzard, Cab Driver, and the La La song. Baby Won't Fix.
We forgot to play. I forgot. I'm sorry.
And there will be a fourth set of tunes. We are doing like magically, beautifully with timing.
It's our specialty.
Yes, it is.
I told you. We give good radio.
You give good radio. Other guests and our adult entertainers give good whatever. But this is good radio. And let's see, let's get the awards done with. And let's see. First plugs. Go to janaperry.com. We said it before, but go there. And go to the MySpace link as well, so you can hear the electric versions of these songs. The show is very likely to be at Radio 4 All, Radio Numeral 4 All .net in half a week or a week, thanks to Birthday Boy Pastor Rex Cat, who I am sure loved his birthday tribute.
I hope so.
And
but you don't have a phone, so he can't call in and tell you.
That's right. It does. So he got Birthday by the Beatles, Happy Birthday Marilyn Monroe / Bill Murray Style by Jana Perry, and a Banana Split song. And there will be updates always at reverendbookburn.com. The next show is next Sunday night, February 21st, with a live guest, adult film star Angel Vane, who is also a recent birthday person. Let's see. And for all information, go to reverendbookburn.com with links, goodies, other Reverend Bookburn links, including the new Facebook and Facebook fan site, and MySpace and YouTube and all of that shit. Email revbookburn@sjcdc.org. Let's see. Oh, we have a letter. This is from Holy Man James Dobson of Focus on the Family, after they paid for their Super Bowl ad starring Tim Tebow and his mother. Let's see. So we told him we'd read it for him. Dear Tim Tebow and mother, thank you for doing the Super Bowl ad and legitimizing our ever-expanding evangelical empire. We have been concerned about the child sex abuse scandal at our Christian youth camp and other scandals, but now money and support is rolling in. Like Osama bin Laden and Mullah Omar, I dream of being a player in a future holy dictatorship. Then we can completely be rid of birth control and abortion, naughty entertainment and of any kind, and obliterate sexual freedom for all American adults. God bless you, your mom, and my anti-abortion terrorist friend, Scott Ritter. Love, Jimmy. P.S. Your mom was great in the sack. That was from James Dobson, the kingpin, the cleric, the mullah, the heavy duty hitter, evangelical leader of Focus on the Family. And now, this a little bit of history. These recorded sounds were from the late Marlon, the great engineer. And just in case you needed the voice identified, the one man you hear during this is Cheech. Cheech Marin from Cheech and Chung. It's that very special time once again. It's time for Asshole of the Week. And we have a runner-up. Sunday, February 14th, 2010, at VoltaRadio.com, ReverendBookburn.com, and Radio4All.net. First, the runner-up. Runner-up to Asshole of the Week is Brian Johnson, vocalist of AC/DC. Our runner-up to Asshole of the Week has slammed the organizers of artists re-recording We Are the World for Haiti and other artistic efforts to help the nation that is going through a catastrophe. And, of course, getting a lot of comments from mindless lunkhead followers saying, yeah, man, fuck all this charity shit, man. And blasting the efforts to help the disaster-ravaged nation. Brian Johnson of AC/DC, please retire. And you are the runner-up to Asshole of the Week. And that means that we have to have an extra special recipient. One even more deserving than our runner-up. Tonight, Asshole of the Week is not a person, but a group of people. More than one group of people. Groups of people who are legislators in at least three cities, including Washington, D.C. Tonight, Asshole of the Week is the groups of legislators who decided that if a woman is carrying more than three condoms, she could be charged. I'm not making this shit up. She could be charged with prostitution. Now, first of all, they're retarded assholes for charging anybody with prostitution and diverting police away from real crime, and plus the injustice of it. But in addition to all of that and stuff we've covered before on the show, hey, here's the Farts House. Get the Farts House for the remainder of Asshole of the Week. First, Cheech from Cheech and Chung. Legislatures who decided that if a woman carries more than three condoms in any of the three cities where these stupid fucking laws were passed, she can be charged with prostitution. And that's an insult to several people, including at least two exes, who can fuck and fuck and fuck and don't even need two or three people to do it. But regardless, and plus, how long are they supposed to last? Are you supposed to wait like a month, before you do it again? It's just, it's insane, it's retarded. And, of course, discourages safer and safe practices. So they're actually more like these fundamentalist fuckheads who make the world a less safe place by denying real education and real life-saving materials. All legislatures who pass citywide laws in at least three cities, which enable law enforcement to prosecute women who have more than three condoms on their person. You are assholes of the week. All right, we can kill those sounds. All right, and I have new songs. Usually that's the end of a set, but I have nothing to announce. Song list wise, we are doing phenomenal with timing. How are you guys doing? Are you tired?
Are we still on?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. We're good, but, you know, never had to follow someone farting musically before. Yeah. Well, at least not literally. Although we've heard some music that sounds like it. In fact, Jacob, I thought you should maybe play that bass line. That was really catchy.
Yeah, I wanted to give you musical ideas and not leave with nothing. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, it's really inspirational.
Well, that's why I didn't want it to follow the last set, because I figured, you know, it would be like an opening act.
Yeah. Great. Thank you for being so considerate.
Okay, so are we going to hear more songs? Are we going to hear Baby Won't Fix?
Yeah, we're going to play Baby Won't Fix. This one is, we haven't recorded this one yet, but we've been playing it live for a while.
Yeah. This is Jacob's favorite song. I just want to preface this one by saying that this is a bass intro you hear. And the bass that you are hearing is a Kramer acoustic bass from about 20 years ago that's recently been brought back to life. So I hope it sounds good over the airwaves. And I also didn't realize when I got here that this was like a bass player paradise, because this is a nice studio, and on the wall there's three really beautiful basses. I don't know who they belong to, but if I didn't have a Kramer, I guess I'd play one of those. You got a Fender bass over there, two Fender basses, a P bass, a Jazz bass, and an old Rickenbacker.
Dr. Seuss.
Yeah, Dr. Seuss Rickenbacker. I've never seen anything
like
that.
You could tell by the headstock.
Yeah, so I guess I would have been okay if I'd forgotten my bass tonight, but you got a nice collection here for whatever reason. And tonight you're going to be hearing a Kramer, and if you want a visualization for this Kramer acoustic bass, there is one famous person that has been seen playing this bass, and his name is Gene Simmons. And if you feel like clicking on YouTube and looking up Kiss Unplugged, I believe it's from the early 90s, you will see my bass being played by one Gene Simmons, and it sounds like this.
And you're watching it. but you've no guts to admit that I won't fix. This goes out to all the aging musicians out there. That's what inspired this song. And it also goes out to anybody from Bayonne, New Jersey, because this is called The Boy from Bayonne.
Street educated.
to be creative when there's no drummer, hence the banging on the guitar.
That comes through.
Yeah, they had to keep the beat. Okay, we're also going to play something else that's newer for you. People who've seen us live have heard this song, but we haven't recorded it yet. And we're really excited about this one. And this is this song was inspired by the 8 months of hell I spent in advertising sales in radio. Radio, wonderful medium.
This is what led her to independent media.
There we go. This is called Salesmen. Stadium. Oops, I just poured water down my front. That's okay.
We're all throwing clothes at her, by the way. Good thing you can't see this.
What'd you say?
So we've all been throwing clothes at her.
Okay.
This would definitely get censored on television.
It's better than tomatoes. You have something thrown at you. All right, we got a couple more for you. Looks like we'd have just enough time to maybe do these. The next one we're going to play is on Catching Flies with Vinegar. It's called Go Ahead. It was also came out as a single on International Pop Overthrow compilation. We play at least once a year. We do stuff. They do festivals, International Pop Overthrow Festival, and I've played. Actually, that was why I played at the Cavern Club. I played there as part of the festival in 2004, and this came out on Not Lame Records. They do a compilation every year. And like I said, this is called Go Ahead. I'm like, what key are we in? We got a modulation and I forgot. Do you know how many times I've played this song?
Oh, probably tons.
There it is. Oh, boy.
Okay.
What happened? I think I'm just tired.
Nothing noticeable.
Didn't sleep very much last night.
Cool. You heard Jana Perry, starring Jana Perry, on guitar and vocals, and Jacob Callis on bass, leg tambourine,
foot tambourine,
and vocals as well. Thank you so much for coming.
Thank you for having us. It was fun.
Thank you, people of Philadelphia.
And everybody else. This is all over the world, I guess.
This is worldwide.
Well, I do have to say one hello to one of our Philadelphia friends. His name's Glenn, and hopefully he's listening tonight. good friend, and he's got a great band of his own called Film Star. He's a good songwriter in his own right. So hello, Glenn in Philadelphia.
Hi, Glenn.
Hey, Glenn. Okay, well, we hope you come again.
Thank you.
And we hope you'll appear on the show again.
Thank you.
As long as we don't have to follow farting next time.
I get to play one of those basses next time.
Yeah, actually, like, you might find one of those missing.
You there may be only two when you leave here tonight.
We didn't know. I had no idea that you had all this equipment in here. No idea.
I told you that. Here, I told you could have.
This is a stockpile of vintage equipment for everybody.
And as you can see,
Sender Rhodes over there.
It would be a little tight, but you actually could play electric if you choose to in the future.
Yeah, we'd love to.
You could have the drummer set up. Is it a double bass?
No, he takes drums away from the kids. He's very minimalist.
Minimalist.
Yeah, he's very minimalistic.
But I mean, can you see that with a little creative rearranging, we could fit a drummer in here, have you guys by the microphones, and utilize the amps. You could even throw in a keyboard player and play electric. It's an option, no decisions. Right. But
we'll write 16 new songs. And
write a double CD, record it, come here, play it all. And this next song needs no introduction.
Yeah, it does.
But it's getting
for you,
anyway.
It doesn't need an introduction.
they heard it on the last show. And about a dozen other times.
Okay.
Plus, we've linked a video in the past.
Please look for it on YouTube, because the video, even though some of the footage from the video was from our 2005 tour, the video just came out.
But it looks cool. It's like, you know, you guys are outside in sunglasses. And then you're playing. Okay. And then it's back to the song, and then...
Yeah.
You know, they magically knew to zoom in on you when you were singing I Wanna Rock by yourself. And
magical.
It's an awesome video. It's an awesome song. It's the finale of the Catching Flies with Vinegar CD.
Great.
And a second favorite.
Is LA Girl the first favorite?
LA Girl, yeah. That's such a kick-ass song. And now we're going to hear...
I Wanna Rock.
Happy birthday, Pastor X-Cat.
Happy birthday, Pastor X-Cat.
Happy love night, all book burners everywhere. Thank you again. Let's rock.
I don't get this reggae shit. I don't get what's up with it. The singing pains to a plant when all I want to do is dance. I don't get this wiper noise for Rasta cheese and pretty boys. They're all just new kids on the block and all I want to do is rock. I want to rock. Mayonnaise. They'll teach you in designer pants, but that don't make me
know exactly. Oh, it does. 9 o'clock. But that's so fucking perfect.
I was watching the clock as we were playing, thinking, God, this song is 11 o'clock.
Amazing.
Amazing. You heard I Wanna Rock.
Yes, you did.
Go Ahead, Salesman, The Boy from Bayonne, and started that set with Baby Won't Fix. This is Reverend Bookburn. The show is called The Reverend Is In Tonight, Jana Perry Live. And of course, that consists of two members of Jana Perry, Jana Perry, and Jacob Callis.
Thank you.
Thank you again. And helping us celebrate Love Night as well. And Pastor Rex Cat's birthday. Being born on Valentine's. Aren't you usually conceived on Valentine's Day? Or?
I don't know. Well, that's interesting. Jacob was born on Halloween.
You were born on Halloween.
Yeah. Halloween's great to be born on.
Okay, so he was probably conceived on Valentine's Day.
Yeah, I never thought about that.
Possible.
All right. Thank you, Muchly. Please come back.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us. We'd love to come back.
And let's see. You will be able to hear the show again in either a half a week or a week at Radio 4 All, radio4all.net. And we'll link it when we update ReverendBookburn.com. On YouTube, youtube.com/RevBookburn. MySpace, myspace.com/ReverendBookburn. Facebook. They wouldn't let Rev be a first name, so it's The Rev, and then Bookburn. And a link there on the wall site, not the wall site, the info site to Rev Bookburn fan site. Email revbookburn@sjcdc.org. Next week, February 21st, adult film star Angel Vane. After that, I don't know. We'll probably celebrate either Palm and Stroke Sunday or Easter, what some people will do to get nailed. So stay in touch with the websites, write to us, check out the show again, link, and pass on to your friends. That's how this whole virus started spreading in the underground in the first place. We're going to play a studio recording from Jana Perry as our goodnight song. Let's see. Let's do... How about New York?
Want to do New York Proud or
you
want to do Last because it's Valentine's Day?
Oh, let's... It's Love Night. Let's not do New York Proud.
Not that I have a problem with you. But if you want to play New York Proud, you can play it.
Yeah. You just lost points with New York people. But,
let's... Well, we love that song. We just decided not to play it tonight because it sounds better with a drummer.
Lust is the last song on the LP.
It's before the last song. It's before I Wanna Rock. All right, let's play Lust.
Just because we haven't played that live in a while, so we might as well play the recording.
All right, so we're going to be out of here after our closing tune. This is from Catching Flies with Vinegar by Jana Perry, Janaperi, janaperi.com. From Catching Flies with Vinegar, this is Lust. Good night.
I sing. shine through the prune in June reveals your chest. I see your lovely beams, and in that magic go-kart I bite your neck. The cheese I have for you, my dear, is real and very new. Reveals your chest. I see your lovely beams, and in that magic go-kart I bite your neck. The love I have for you, my dear, is real and a very new. Prune, if it is a real prune, knows no cheese.
Chunk-a-chunk-a-chunk-a-chunk-a-chunk-a-chunk-a-chunk-a-chunk-a-chunk-a-chunk-a-chunk-a-chunk-a-chunk-a-chunk-a-chunk-a-chunk-a-chunk-a-chunk-a-chunk-a-chunk-a-chunk-a-chunk-a-chunk-a-chunk-a-chunk-a-chunk-a-chunk-a-chunk-a-chunk-a-chunk-a-chunk-a-chunk-a-chunk-a-chunk-a-chunk-a-chunk-a-chunk-a-chunk-a-chunk-a-chunk-a-chunk-a-chunk-a-chunk-a-chunk-a-chunk-a-chunk-a-chunk-a-chunk-a-chunk-a-chunk-a-chunk-a-chunk-a-chunk-a-chunk-a-chunk-a-chunk-a-chunk-a-chunk-a-chunk-a-chunk-a-chunk-a-chunk-a-chunk-a George Bush. And I know the love I have for you will grow and grow and grow, I think. And so, my love, I offer you a love that is strong, a prune that is true.
My Duchess of Prunes.
I'm putting me through the prune in June. It fills your chest. I see your lovely beams. And in that magical cut, I bite your neck. The cheese I have for you, my dear, is real and very new. And they just lie there, drowning and sickening, and it just, I don't know. And I know, I think, the love I have for you will never end. Well, maybe. And so, my love, I offer you a love that is strong, a prune that is true.
This is the exciting part.
Just like the Supremes, so the way it builds up.
Baby,
you feel it?
Baby, baby, baby.
My prune is yours, my love. My cheese for you,
my baby prune.
My baby, my prune.
My baby, my dear.
My baby prune.
My baby prune.
Men, women, and sex. I can't speak for women, but I know what men are about. They want to fuck. Men are dogs. Now, men reading this right now are shaking their heads and saying to themselves, damn, I shut the fuck up. As kids, we are taught to make you believe we have other reasons to talk to you. At school, we'll walk up to you and ask, what's your name? How you doing? But what we're really saying is, man, I want to fuck you. This is what drives a male. Women should give me a special service award for tipping them off. This instinct is simply in men. That's why a little boy will open a Playboy magazine and get an erection. He's never seen a naked woman. He doesn't even know what his dick is for. But he will have an erection because the feeling is innate. Women do not want to believe this, but sex is the only thing men are thinking about when they initially step to you. When you walk into a club and go after a girl, you go after her because she's attractive to you sexually. After you get to know each other, love may take over and the relationship transcends into something deeper. But the first level is always animal attraction. The male sex drive is so powerful that if it were to be eliminated, the entire economy would crash in one day. There would be nobody at work, nobody in school. All we would do is lay around, eat, fart, and get fat. The sex drive is what makes men get up in the morning. It's the machine that runs the world. Why do men want to become successful? To get women. For gay men, it's no different. Your ambition is to please your partner. The sex drive is so powerful that a man goes into this warp where he would do anything for his women. I've been on that insane chemical before when my girlfriend was coming to meet me in New York. She flipped my switch and started talking crazy to me on the phone. Next thing you know, I'm out of the jewelry store getting her presents. I lost my mind because passion causes you to lose your mind. Passion makes the world go round. Love just makes it a safer place. For those of you entering into a partnership race, I've devised a relationship meter to help you detect compatibility. In every relationship, there are four different areas you need to be totally aware of. Physical attraction, mental compatibility, physical compatibility. Physical attraction. Guy looks a girl, girl looks a guy. Guy looks like Godzilla, ain't shit happening. You have to have some form of sexual attraction for this to transcend to the next level. If you look at a guy and cannot imagine yourself with him intimately under any circumstances, you're only going to end up friends. Mental attraction. Physical attraction can be enhanced sometimes by mental attraction. You might find a business associate so mentally attractive you start seeing a physical attraction, but you didn't come in looking for it. You got hooked because you're working an intense job with this guy and his mental attractiveness starts intriguing you. Mental compatibility. If the first thing that comes out of an attractive man's mouth is, let's go shoot some heroin, you're out of there. He may look nice, but he's a chump. If he says something interesting and the girl is receptive, you probably have the beginnings of mental compatibility. You'll exchange telephone numbers, maybe. But you're not going to have a one-night stand. Mental compatibility is usually determined on the first date and pretty early on. Physical compatibility. You touch, you kiss, you hold. You'll either hit or you miss. If you hit on all four of these, you'll have some form of relationship. Whether it's an affair or a boyfriend-girlfriend type of relationship will be determined by how high you're hitting on each category. If you have high physical attraction and high physical compatibility, you might just end up being fuck partners. Now let's say those two don't fit. Now you think, I don't dig him physically. He can't kiss. But we learn from each other and we're together and it's fun. This is a strong non-sexual friendship. Take three out of four. He's good in bed. He's nice looking. He's okay to be with. But at times he's annoying. He can't be a total thing, but you don't mind going out on a date with him. If somebody hits on all points, you're in a real dangerous situation because you could fall in love. This meter is extremely important. When your girlfriend asks you, why are you with him? He treats you like shit. He does never come around. Why do you constantly go to him? You know it's because he's hitting on 1 in 4. With that scale, you can always find out where you're going. The hardest thing is to be honest and gray truthfully. You can look at your partner and say, well, he's attractive. Well, shit, he isn't really that attractive. This is the hardest thing in the world. Because love is conditional, the scales on the meter start changing. Maybe the guy's getting fat and the passion needs to be regained. Most of the time, the relationship deteriorates because people start getting lazy. It's not like you're still working at it like you were. You're not going out together anymore. You're not dressing up. And when you first went out, you looked sexy for each other. You knew how to turn each other on. You can rekindle a romance. It's not that hard. I'm still excited about my relationship, but you gotta work at it. I'm lucky because absence does make the heart grow fonder. Sometimes I think we've been together so long because I'm away a lot. People generally have to make an effort. The classic scenario, a guy says, damn, baby, you ain't putting on that lingerie anymore. Why are you wearing them granny dresses? What happened to my little sex kitten? While he's sitting around with his belly hanging out. Or worse, the squirrel mentality sets in. You found the nut, now you're going to bury it. You don't want your woman to look sexy anymore because you don't want her to attract other men. This same guy will take his girl out and cover her up while he's looking at all the other women. This is an insecure guy. That's a male problem. The most difficult thing for a man or a woman to deal with in a relationship is watching it slip away. When that happens, you have to admit it's going and it's not coming back. It takes strength to fall in love, but it takes real strength to walk out when it isn't right. Real relationships require compromise. Love is not a selfish game. At times you have to rub his neck. Maybe you're dead tired, but he would really like it. And you love him, so you rub his neck. There are going to be times when she's going to want something, and you're going to have to accommodate her. These usually aren't requests that money can buy. These are physical acts of non-selfishness over selfishness. This is what real love is all about. In any relationship, you got to know who you're going into business with right up front. Now, I'm on the road 100 to 200 days out of the year, and there's no way I can get around the fact that I meet women all the time. That doesn't mean I'm necessarily going to be with them, but I enjoy their company. I can't pretend something may not happen either, but I don't give my girlfriend any reason to sweat me. The day a girl pops up at the front door with a suitcase, she and I will have a discussion. Either that, or there'll be a girl at the front door getting her ass kicked. By the same token, I'm not going to interrogate her when I get back into the town. Our philosophy is realistic. When I'm here, I'm here. When I'm not here, I'm not here. When I come back from tour, she'll ask me, how was tour, and that's that. And I'll ask her, how was Mexico if she spent time traveling, and we move forward. What's happened has already happened, and there's nothing we can do about it. People who do have open relationships, though, should remember three keys, because there are gray areas that can cause nuclear explosions. Don't even think about practicing anything but safe sex. Stay away from all friends and relatives. And finally, if you are to have an affair, always sleep with somebody who is at least as attractive as the person you're with. If you're caught with a monster, a fat girl, or someone she or he feels is less attractive than her, she'll probably be ripped apart because her ego will be hurt. The worst relationship is to sleep with one of your boyfriend's friends. You're really trying to get killed over some shit like that. All women in the deep, dark recesses of their minds know men fool around. Whether they have sex or not, a lot of men need to periodically have their ego catered to, and that occurs only by conquest. A woman will walk out of the house and men will whistle at her and let her know she looks good. But men don't get this treatment. Most men could go for a year without anybody saying, you look good. So how does he determine whether he still has it or not? He has to go out and try to talk to women. If a girl smiles, he still got it. Reassurance may be all he needs.
Caroline! Can't you hear me calling, Caroline? It's my heart a-calling thine. Can't you hear me calling, Caroline? Wish that I could kiss you, Caroline.
Let it out.
Ah, Caroline, sweet gal of mine, your eyes, they shine with love divine. We're out to dine, partake of wine, my Caroline. Oh, press to mine your lips divine. If any swine dare to try to dine you, Caroline, I'll make the swine drink iodine. for you are mine, and I am thine. And when you sign on the dotted line, things will be fine, and I'll be fine, and your folks will be fine. And you're... what do you know? I ran out of rhymes. Well, shall we dance? Can't you hear my lips a-saying? Can't you hear my soul a-praying? Can't you hear me calling? What's the matter, you deaf or something? Caroline! You hear me shout? Caroline, 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 won't you be mine?
This song is called Decide, because baby, you got to decide whether it's going to be him or me. Ain't no lie. Decide! Got to get up right now. Come on, baby. Got to get it. Come on. Come on, where's the boogie groovy? Come on, let's see the dancing. What I got to do to say what I got to do.
For women, there is one guy out there, I don't know if it's Michael Jordan or Tom Cruise or Arnold Schwarzenegger, but there's one guy in your mind, you'd fuck him if he gave you the chance. There would be no conversation, there would be no dinner, there would be nothing but straight up fucking. Girls will ask me, how do you deal with these girls who just want to come to your hotel room and fuck you? I reply, well, I don't know. I might be this guy who they have pictures on their walls. They watch the videos. They've waited all of a sudden, and I'm there. They're on a mission. I won't be inviting them all in. I'm not crazy. In show business, you're not just an average guy a girl meets out of nowhere at a restaurant. She's had time to watch you, listen to you, read your articles, read your book, watch you on TV, rewind your video. She's probably slept with you in her mind 15 or 20 times already. So when she meets you in the flesh, she's going to go for it, whether you're Bon Jovi or Axl Rose. If you fulfill her fantasy, she's completed this mission. The average guy has to find out if he's even close to her vision of the ideal man. Then he's got to determine how long it will take for her to be with him. This requires straight military tactics. So apply the relationship meter and determine whether you fit in. Once you get in, it's your turn to show them how great a person you are. It's time to be funny. It's time to be deep. Whatever direction this person wants to go, you got to be able to blow in it. Hopefully, you're already somebody this person likes, because you can't really be anything you're not. Now, if you're only out to fuck, do not be afraid to lie. Tell her whatever she wants to hear. Lie, lie, lie. She's probably trying to fuck you, too. Maybe in another way. She's trying to get drinks out of you. During this process, a game is going to be played on both sides. If at the end of this lying procedure you turn out to like each other, you can back out of your lies by saying, you know what, I was really just trying to get with you, but you're really cool. She might leave, but if she's real, she'll understand. When I met my girl, I just walked up to her and said, do you want to be on an album cover? I didn't have a record deal. How am I going to get her on an album cover? But I sized up the situation. She was out there dancing and probably wanted to be seen, so I came up with this line. Do you really want to be seen? As you get older, you don't take the same approach. You go from, I want to fuck a girl, to, I like the way she looks. I wouldn't mind being able to know her over a period of time. I don't know how deep it'll go, but this is somebody I might not mind having down with me. The urgency is gone. You can be real. If you're clever or charming, you'll always find somebody who thinks you're interesting. This, however, is a problem. A lot of guys aren't clever or charming. They ain't got no flavor about themselves. They're just blah. That's their problem, and they got to work on that. I can't tell them how to be charming. My whole point is you got to have some kind of plan that factors into two equations. First, you have to meet somebody who doesn't think you're ugly or you stink. Second, you have to be half-assed clever, and you have to be somebody worth meeting. You got to make an effort to make yourself into something. Men have to learn courting and mating skills. You can help yourself by learning a few basics. If you can dance, that'll help. Give a woman a reason to like you. Wash your ass. Do some sit-ups. And once you get your physical act together, read some books, learn something, be interesting, get some flavor about yourself. But most importantly, get in the game. Once you've established you're in the game and you've made a date, here are some key lines that'll get you some sex. Use the power of suggestion. The power of suggestion is the biggest weapon anyone has in their arsenal. Try this one. There's no sense of me and you worrying about sex, because if we hang around each other long enough, it's inevitable. Now what you're doing there is you're trying for a yes answer, because you're saying you are gonna fuck sooner or later. The girl will laugh, she'll smile, she'll think, God damn, this motherfucker's bold. But deep in her head, if she does imagine it one day, she'll have to agree with you. Confidence is the greatest aphrodisiac. Overconfidence is a turnoff. It must be handled like nitro. My girl's very extroverted. She's always been that way. If I had to beg her to dress sexy, I wouldn't get off. The most erotic thing to me is to hook up with a woman who knows what she wants. The key to my eroticism is submission. Both people have to submit. Now, one person's submission might be to dominate the other person, but total submission is the ultimate turn-on. Check out Madonna's erotica video. She's saying, yo, I'm going any way you want to go. This way, that way, I'm like down with it. That, to me, is erotic. I am an Aquarian, and while others might think about the earth, we think about the sky. I dream. I want to be with someone who can feel on a spiritual level. This is the spirituality of love. What you're trying to do is to form some attachment to this girl that is not of this earth, like a vibe, but it's real. If you can mack a girl out on this level, there is no man who can rival you. You will never be out-talked. You're taking a woman to this level that says, I don't care if you got a man. I don't care if you got a husband. I don't care if you're married and 3 years from now I got 5 kids. You and I will always be on this level up here regular people can't understand. We'll always be in love. This can be real. Most of the time when you do have a good relationship with a man, it's on a spiritual level. The guy who has the ultimate rap will be able to reach different levels of consciousness with females, and females will understand that. They'll be connecting with him on a whole different plane than the average guy. I always tell girls that I meet when they talk to me, you gotta be real careful because I'm real good at this shit. I tell them to listen to half of what I say to them because first of all, they have to understand who I am. If you take the world and ask what is the fastest country in the world, it would be the United States as far as crime and hustling goes. If you broke it down from there and took the two fastest cities in the U.S., it would be New York and L.A. L.A. has more jet-set speed to it, which is based on the motion picture industry, flashy cars, gangs, and violence. New York is a more walk-the-street type city, a lot more dirt-asshole hustlers and pickpockets. L.A. is a jet-set fast city, so we'll give L.A. the faster lane than New York. If you think of what L.A. is and you think of what a rapper is a slick talker. Not only does he talk slick, he talks slick in rhyme. We get paid to talk slick. Now, if I'm one of the biggest slick talkers in L.A., and L.A. is the fastest city in the United States, and the United States is the fastest country in the world, you're probably hanging out with one of the fastest slick-talking motherfuckers on Earth. So the average girl is in real trouble. Be afraid. In general, the typical person has a two-channel brain. Yes, no, right, and wrong. The objective of a pimp is to open this up to why not, says who. You've been watching regular TV, and all of a sudden you've got cable. If I can open up these channels wide enough, everything you've ever been taught will be reevaluated as you start using these new trains of thought. You'll do things you've never done, like fucking in a bathroom of a club. You've never done it because you've never opened your mind before. It wasn't even in your realm of possibilities. I can only bring cable if you want it installed. In other words, I'm like a vampire. I can't come into your home unless you invite me in. I'm using every technique I can, but women have to indirectly or directly let me in. People who don't want cable can keep me out by saying, I'm not ever going to listen to him. I know I'm not ever going to listen to him. But if you crack the door open, I'll get in, and your life will never be the same. I'll tell him, you better run, little girl, because your boyfriend won't be the same anymore. You'll trip off your parents. It'll fuck your life up. 1 out of 20 run, but they always come back. You've seen them vampire movies. Since the beginning of my career, I've been accused of sexism because I'm honest and vocal about the way men perceive women. The accuser's perception of me is so far from the truth. I believe the only reason we're on this planet is for men and women to trip off of each other. In my work, I deal with sexuality, not sexism. I am sexual. I deal with sex in its most blatant and raw form, real. I've talked to more feminists on this topic than most feminists have because I travel around the country and deal with them regularly. If women want to be treated equal, earn equal wages, and attain equal status in the workplace, then I'm a feminist. A sexist views women as just pieces of meat. The fact is, men look at women's butts, and women look at men's butts. Is that sexist? At times, people will make fun and treat each other like sexual objects, but do they really feel that way in their hearts? I don't believe the conflict with feminists is between feminists and men. I think the real controversy is between feminists and other feminists. All women want their rights and respect, and that should be dealt with. But there are plenty of people who feel this is a man's world and therefore men have an advantage over females. I agree, that is wrong. The real war is between the feminists themselves, between the woman who wants to wear the miniskirt and the woman who finds that demeaning. A woman will say, my sexuality is something I have and I don't mind using it to my advantage. I enjoy it. I enjoy wearing makeup and looking nice. This is who I am. If I were a woman, I would enjoy what a woman is. I would enjoy being treated as a woman, and I don't know if I'd want to give up my femininity. Equal rights and being treated feminine should be two totally different things. A real life conflict exists between women who can't deal with blatant sexuality. My girlfriend and I went through all of this drama when she wore a bathing suit on the cover of my Power album. I explained to her what the message and the image of the album cover was supposed to get across. We were going to show the power of sex, the power of weapons, and the power of deception. I told her to be on the cover, she'd need to wear something sexy, and she came out with her bathing suit. She's proud of her body. She had been in the gym day and night, and this was a chance for her to show herself off. When it hit, men went crazy. Everybody bought the album like it was the greatest thing in the world. A lot of women liked the cover, too, because she was holding a gun, which gave her strength. She wasn't just standing there by herself. She had a weapon and she looked strong. I've been to more health clubs and gyms and women come up to me and say, Ice, I got her picture on my refrigerator. That to me is it, you see, they liked it. The first thing the critics asked me was, why did you go out and get a model? That's so tacky. Why would you get a model to try to make yourself look good? She's not in your group. What does she have to do with your music? That's my girlfriend, I told them. That's my wife. This is how I got married in the public eye. I've never been married. I've never even been to a wedding. But by using the term wife, that meant I was married. After this was explained, feminists came up to me and asked, why did you make her do that? Why did you exploit her? It wasn't exploitation. She knew what she was doing. She was down with it. All artists or models exploit themselves. I know I can rap, so when I get on stage, I show it, I scream it, I roll on my back, I fall down, I pull my pants down, whatever it takes, and I get paid for it. Now, if I feel comfortable with that and what I'm doing, there's no exploitation. If a girl makes a living getting paid to do bikini contests, somebody will tell her she's allowing herself to be exploited. But she may point out she's making $1,000 a night and she likes the attention. She just might dig it. If on the other hand, somebody is forced or tricked into doing something that they do not want to do, then that is exploitation. When you accuse somebody of being exploited, you better ask them first if they were taken advantage of, because maybe, just maybe, they dig it. The people who are most offended by the blatant sexuality are the Christian right wing. They have a certain moral standard that defines right and wrong. To be honest, they have a total hang-up with sex from the ground up. They feel it should only happen after marriage. They feel it should only be done in a missionary position. They don't believe in oral sex. I think they're just missing out on the whole reason we're here and what human beings are about. How can they look at an animal enjoying sex and turn around and say, well, we shouldn't do it like that because we've evolved? Other religions have a totally different angle on sex. If you read the Kama Sutra, they teach you how to fuck down the house. If you try to keep up with that book, you'll be with your girl for the rest of your life. The Christian right wing just doesn't know how to enjoy sex. They make rules for everybody else based on their own belief system. Everybody has some form of porn in their closet, but the fundamentalists and Catholics like to keep it tucked away where nobody else can see it. They don't want to see anybody publicly having fun. The Christian right wing is quick to call anything they don't want to see in public pornographic. Life is pornographic. There is violence in the streets. There is violence in the news. To me, that's more pornographic than anything sexual. The injustice and the suffering that goes on in the streets are pornographic. Life is X-rated. It's not rated R. The worst harm that can happen to any child comes directly from the parents, not through music or TV. Really aggressive kids are usually getting the shit beat out of them at home. They're not getting pushy from watching Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. I've watched Friday the 13th and Nightmare on Elm Street 100 times, and I'm not about to stab anybody. I listen to Black Sabbath all day, and I don't perform satanic rituals. If you can make people kill with records, then news junkies would be out slaying people all day long. There's no proof Two Live Crew caused teen pregnancies. These are just smoke screens the opponents to information exchange throw up. The best way to make people afraid of something is to say it'll hurt the children. If I had my own car company and I wanted to put Toyota out of business, the best way I could do it was to say more kids got killed in Toyotas. The children will be all right. Children grow up in a shitstorm of life, and they all pull through unless a parent or somebody who they truly love and respect fucks with them. Absolutely nothing can substitute for parental guidance and love.
I wanna be your lover, baby. I wanna be your man. I wanna be your lover, baby. I wanna be your man. Love you like no other, baby. Like no other can. Love you like no other, baby. Like no other can. I wanna be your man. 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 Tell me that you love me, baby. I wanna be your man. I wanna be your lover, baby. I wanna be your man. I wanna be your lover, baby. I wanna be your man. 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 I wanna be your man.